Thoughts on Zephaniah. Zephaniah 2, verses 4 to 15. Pagans too. It's not just Judah. Yes, Judah's going to come under judgment from God. There's no doubt about it. Israel had gone into captivity. There's no doubt about it. If Israel and Judah will come under the wrath of God, as Peter puts it, if judgment begins at the house of God, where shall the ungodly, the sinner, appear? Where shall pagans come? 1 Peter 4, 17 and 18. And here it is, Zephaniah 2, 4 to 15. Philistines, Moabites, Ammonites, Cushites, Assyrians, you name it. God's eye was upon them. God's hand was upon them. They will not escape the judgment of God. And how fearsome, how awful that judgment would be. I'm not just talking about an abstract point, judgment, the hand of God. That spells ruin, devastation, misery, grief, tears. Look at the words, verse 4, abandoned. Verse 4, emptied, uprooted. Look at verse 5, woe, destroyed, verse 5. Totally, verse 5, totally destroyed. And it's not just other nations doing it. It's not just economic circumstances. It's not just, shall we say, luck or fate or chance. Verse 5, I will do it. I will do it. The Lord has his hand upon the Philistines, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Cushites, the Assyrians. None will escape. God's eye, God's hand, God's power. Why? Verse 8, because they hated Judah. Therefore, verse 9, the consequence of turning against the people of God. They'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 9. Weeds, ruin, wasteland. It will all be devastated. Rich cities, powerful cities, commercial centers, the business, the shopping malls, the pleasure seekers' venues. All will be brought down to wasteland, desert, rubble. They show pride, they insult, they mock Judah, verse 10. And God himself, verse 11, will visit them in judgment. Yes, he'll be maybe slain, verse 12. It's God's will, verse 13. Again, it's destroy. And stretching out his hand, God stretching out his hand against and destroying Syria, leaving Nineveh utterly desolate and dry as the desert. These are solemn words. These are serious matters indeed. Ruin, verse 14. Rubble, verse 14. Pride and carnality and confidence and boasting all brought down to ruin, verse 15. Now, this is just brief thoughts. How many tears, how many bereavements, how many losses, what collapse of money, what collapse of confidence, as in those words, is indescribable. Just think of it. The grief, the human grief, the human misery it must have been, all that history. My friend, but it's not just history. The Bible prophesies, as it did here through Zephaniah, as it drew through Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, the rest of them, as it prophesied it, judgment in those days. The Bible today is still prophesying that a day of judgment is on the horizon. And every day brings that day closer. God has appointed a day, Acts 17, 30-31. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man that he's ordained, Jesus Christ. And he's given evidence of it, he's given proof of it, a demonstration of it, in that he's raised him from the dead. I'm not talking about luck. I'm not talking about fate or chance or circumstances. All that comes, all circumstances come into it, events come into it. But it's the hand of God. My friend, let us learn from these events 2,500 years ago. Let us learn from them. Let us learn from the flood. Let us learn from Sodom and Gomorrah. Let us learn from these events. The day is coming, a fearful day, when we shall all have to stand before God. And all our hopes and all our treasures and all our confidences and all our boasting and all our bragging and all our pleasure-seeking will come down into dust and rubble. And anguish, and sweat, and tears. May God awaken us. May God awaken us now. Now is the time to seek the Lord, in the sense of call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let him seek the Lord. Turn to the Lord, call upon him while he is near. I'm not asking you to come back to tomorrow's discourse. I'm asking you, pleading with you, urging you to trust the Lord now.